Hello, Witchcast. My name is Julia, and just want to let you guys know that we have Ty with us again from Occultish. Ty, say hello, and I'm very excited to have you back. So,
hey, thanks for having me back. I'm really excited to dive into what we're going to talk about today.
Yes, and we have a lot of different topics that we're going to go over, but first, let's pull the tarot card of the day, and then we'll get started. Perfect.
Cool, sounds good.
So do a quick shuffle, and then we'll see what we have. Okay, so the card that I just pulled, it's from the Modern Witch Tarot deck. It's called the Ten of Wands is what I just pulled, actually. It's going to be upright. So the Ten of Wands, typically it means like an increase in confidence, putting yourself together and like really just giving it your all. And, you know, your willpower is like extremely strong and you really want to push forward, because in the picture, it depicts either a male or female and they're holding like this huge like thing of sticks that are essentially wands, and they're like building something with it, or they're going to build something with it. So it's like a whole huge, like just really cool card to get, because it just shows that you're going to have a lot of growth. And I think that having Ty on this episode again with us for the, like, I feel like we're just going to do a series of Ty. So get used to listen to his voice and my voice, because it's going to be amazing. But I really think that having Ty on this episode, it's going to make this kind of this podcast grow a lot, because he's very informative. He knows a lot. He's a very cool person, guys. Like, and I can't wait to like dive in the topics we're going to talk about today, because he is the coolest dude ever. Seriously.
Aww. No, Julie, you are too. I'm really excited. And I think this is indicative of kind of what we've been working on together and singularly. And I think a lot of people may even be able to resonate with this, because it really kind of signifies like having all of the materials that you need to build the house. Right. But yeah. I do think that with tarot, it's important to highlight the light and the dark side of things. Yeah. And I think with this, it's important to remember not to get overwhelmed. Having all of those sticks, you need to really think carefully how you're going to build this foundation and how you're going to put it together, because you have so many resources. Sometimes that's actually a burden to have.
Yes, you know? Absolutely.
But being the Ten of Wands, you know, it's fire. It's actually represents, astrologically, it's Saturn in Sagittarius. That's which, so cool. Represents, you know, Saturn's like kind of this like very practical power kind of driven planet, and Sagittarius is a very free spirit, but that's very driven by independence at some level, and very driven by curiosity on a very, very large level. And I think the Ten of Wands is kind of bringing that curiosity and practicalness together, which can be difficult, but when done well, I think it's a really, really powerful combo. And I mean, I personally resonate with Sagittarius because it's my rising sign. And so this is a good card for me for us to pull together. It really, really resonates with me.
Yeah. And like, I love pulling cards live with guests, because it just shows that, you know, we're doing this fresh and it's not like stagnant. Right. But the Ten of Wands, I think it's a very good omen for this episode and for the podcast. So thank you, Ty, for kind of like going over what you thought it was. And by the way, we're going to get into astrology in another episode. So guys, if you're not aware of like the rising sun or your moon sign and everything, we'll get to that. Ty is very, very knowledgeable. Like he knows a lot about astrology. So that's going to be in another episode. But so in this episode, I got a lot of feedback from the previous that everyone wants to know more about Ty, and you know I do too, you know. So I think this podcast episode is really going to go in depth about who Ty is, his spiritual awakening, like more in detail of that, and then we'll kind of like transition to like having that go into witchcraft in a modern setting. We'll talk about how important Book of Shadows are and like the grimoire and everything. And I think the most important topic we're going to talk about, not only is it about him, but what is a witch, right?
Yes.
So let's start off with your spiritual awakening, and let's go in depth of like how that happened.
Cool. So I'm really excited to share this story too, because I think a lot of people, when they're discovering their magic, and whether that's through witchcraft or other forms, I think that sometimes people get maybe a little overwhelmed from what they see in Hollywood or from what their ideas or perceptions of it are. And I think that my story was kind of like really not guided or led at all. And I think that'll be really cool for people to get to hear. So
yeah,
gonna dive into it, I guess. Where do I start? I think the coolest place to start is, so I'm gonna go back a few years, about till I was about 24, so about 7 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I was working in a startup job in a corporate area. It was a really cool job. I really liked it. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I learned through it was kind of this power of self. And I really learned to empower myself while working at this job. And I empowered myself so much that I decided I wanted to quit the job. So, I quit, and my brother and I literally started selling everything that we had, because we wanted to drive across the country to California, and we wanted to move to California. And so we did it. We sold everything, and you know, in about 2 weeks, and then 3 weeks later, we were on the road. And that's kind of when it started. It really, that was a really big step, like stepping into the unknown. And I think magic's really about that, you know, and that's one of the exciting things about it, is that you get to explore this thing that's really not well documented or isn't talked about that much. And it becomes really exciting. So anyway, I started there, and a bunch of things happened, but eventually I ended up coming back home kind of sad and defeated. And, it was a cool trip. A lot of really cool things happened, but I just, you know, life is life. And, you know, there's certain things you have to do to be a functioning adult. And I came back home kind of sad and defeated. And I was really exploring myself as an artist and artistry. And that's when I first started getting into kind of the magic of myself a little bit more. At the time, I didn't call it witchcraft. It wasn't aligned with like traditional witchcraft in any way, shape, or form. But I ended up doing a ceremony that I didn't realize. I was just kind of like doing like an exercise for myself. And what I did was, it's kind of a crazy ceremony, and I very highly caution people to do it. Consider what you're doing before you do it.
But, yes. We talked about that yesterday, and we'll get into that later. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, you're good. You're good. And it was actually a really intense ceremony where I, as an artist, I had to remove this element of like perceived care that people had for me, you know, like in order to make the art I wanted to make, I had to not think about what the people in my life were going to think of it.
Yeah.
Right. So I did this ceremony where I essentially burned away the things that were holding me back with the closest relationships in my life. So I did my mom, I did my dad, I did my brother, I did my partner, I did a few close friends, and I didn't burn away my relationship with them, because I strongly value those relationships, but I burned away the perception of our relationship that was holding me back. And I, again, didn't even realize I was doing magic at the time. Like, I was just trying to like do something to help myself, you know? Mm-hmm. And it ended up having a really lasting effect, because from there, like literally within a month, I like packed up my stuff again. I moved back to Los Angeles, and I said I was going to give it another try, and I haven't gone back since. You know?
That's amazing. That's such a good story, because, you know, doing magic like that, when you don't realize you're doing it, it's such a better story when you find out that, holy shit, I just did magic kind of thing.
Right? Exactly. Yeah. And I think a lot of people have, like, especially from occultists, I hear so many stories where people are like, as a kid, I used to put like herbs in jars and like try and make potions for my friends, you know?
Like
we're, from little children, we're so aware of magic inherently.
Yes.
It's like, it's actually an act of remembering our magic is what the practice of witchcraft is, in my opinion.
Absolutely. Like, I remember when I was younger, I would like find like, do you remember like digging sand and then put water in it, and then you'll throw like sticks, leaves, and kind of make your own little potion?
Yes, exactly.
That's what I did when I was younger, and I would say like little things like, I want to be this when I grow up, and then like, you know, it's just like little spells and kind of like intention. But, you know, like you said, it starts off when you're children, and you, as a child, you are such a magical being already, you know.
Yeah.
You have so much life, yet you're so vibrant, and you have all this potential. And I think that's very beautiful, and unlike how you just explained about how you kind of just banished all that kind of negativity, and you kind of just came here, and, you know, we're glad to have you here.
Yeah, I love it here too. And then once I got here, I mean, that's where the kind of the book brings us. I mean, the story brings us, you know, it's like, mm-hmm. I came here, and I'm not going to get into my life too much, but I moved to Oakland from Los Angeles after about a year or two. Mm-hmm. Los Angeles is a tough city to live in, for those of you that don't know.
Yes. And LA traffic isn't great either.
No, there's a lot of things. It all stacks together, you know?
Yeah.
But I went up to Oakland, and Oakland's actually a really, really magical place. I mean, Berkeley is like, in America, it really is a hub of magical teachings and educations. Like, without California culture, I don't think a lot of magical traditions would be as popular in American culture as they are. And when I moved up there, I was really able to tap into it because there's so many artists there that are inspired by, whether it's like witchcraft or spirituality or the metaphysical or whatever it is, there's so many people. And when I moved up there, I really started my practice. That's when I met Mark, who I talked about in the last podcast, who runs the astrology app. Mm-hmm. And he started teaching me astrology and sharing his stories with me. And that really kind of kicked off my path, like, significantly. Like, I started my first official grimoire at that point. And I started recording rituals and writing sigils and documenting my teachings. And from there, I was able to look back and actually discover that ritual that I had done on the East Coast, the original one. And I was able to identify it and be like, oh, this is magic. Like, yeah. I did magic then. And that was really amazing. And then I had a really kind of identifying point in my life where the space I lived at was called Abco, and it was a live-in artist workspace that was amazing, like amazing to the T. Like, there was a woodworking shop, there was a metalworking shop, there was a gallery, there was a stage, there was 22 artists that used the facility, and 10 of us lived there. And I threw an event that was art-focused, mm-hmm. but through that event, I met Sasha, who is my spiritual mother and one of my biggest teachers to date. Wow. I mean, and she was going to be a tarot reader at my art show. So,
holy crap. So things are just like coming together for you and you don't even know that it's happening. That's amazing.
Exactly. And at the time, like, I felt like my powers were so strong. Like, I feel like anybody going through a spiritual awakening can like relate with this. Like, I felt like I could literally like summon people to call me, like,
yeah,
find whatever it was that I wanted, like, on the street. Like, I would be able to find money on the street. Like, I'd walk around and be like, I wonder if I could find $10. And then I'd find like $2, you know, yeah. or something weird.
And I can totally relate to the whole spiritual awakening thing where your magic is like at its peak sometimes because yeah. like it's, you don't know how to harness it yet, so it's kind of like scattered, right?
100%. And it's like acting crazy and it's doing yeah. things that you didn't even know were possible, you
absolutely
know?
Yes. Okay, so you found your spiritual mom, and so what happened after that one?
So after that, during that time period, I actually really started like studying magic. And this was when I was 25. Mm-hmm. And I like started to like sit down and like actually like study magic, study all the elements of it. I did start out a little bit more freeform than probably most, where like I knew the basic principles of intention and will, which I talked about in the last podcast. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to be influenced by particular teachings because I didn't know what teaching I wanted to follow. So I wanted to just kind of like do my own and then see what lined up with it. And that's when I like really came to understand myself as a witch. And while that was happening, I connected deeper with Sasha and I got introduced to her house, which was a house of artists as well. And that was almost every person in that house was a practicing witch at the time.
Holy and God. That's that amazing. Was
so amazing for my spirituality, for my growth. I made a whole like movie that's about occultism with one of my friends. It was like a, you know, indie film. I was able to like throw art shows that were primarily like magic focused. I was able to like, you know, now we go on camping trips, we always build like an altar, we always build like put runes on our stones around the fire pit. Like, my life became ingrained with magic at that point.
That's amazing, because not everyone can identify with that yet, because, you know, when you're not spiritually awakened, you just hear these stories and you're just like, oh, okay, so they're just having the time of their life. No, we're being awakened, and, you know, it's like it's a huge thing, right? Because mm-hmm. like you have, like I said, a scattered magic everywhere, and then you finally figure out, holy crap, I was doing magic the entire time. And then now you understand that everything in life can have magic in it, you know?
So. Exactly. And as you learn the craft, I think it gives you the tools to build the container.
Yeah.
Right. So like, I've always had fire. Like, I always had a fire pit. Like, when I was like in college, I had one. I don't have one at my current house, but I would love to.
Yeah.
And I just never like put sigils on my fire pit, you know?
Yeah. That's because, well, sigils is like a really huge part, I think, of my life. And I know we talked, it's a very big part of your life as well. What would you categorize as like, what is a sigil to you?
So for me, a sigil, I mean, there's traditional sigils that are like commonly used and there's personal ones, but they're essentially just a visual representation of an intention.
Yeah.
Right. Like that's what language is. That's what art is. And I think sigils are like one of the earliest forms of communication that humans use. And as a result of that, that's actually one of the first like writing is one of the first magic forms that humans ever created.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, I think sigils kind of like coincides with like hieroglyphics and everything too, right?
Like exactly. And even further back, like think about it, like when some like the first art that was ever drawn was like what? Like a humans chasing a bull or something, or like a cow or something. I don't know. It was a drawing of something that represented it. And through that drawing, they were able to manifest things. They were able to draw, like they were able to draw every flower that they saw. So now they had a catalog of flowers. And then, you know what I mean? And then from there, they were able to maybe draw another sigil like that represented what it meant. And then that became a word. And now in modern magic, we have this ability where we can combine all of these things that we don't consider magic anymore because they're so commonplace. And we're able to make them into new sigils, which is more complex. You know, you can put a whole book worth of intentions into a drawing.
Yeah, because I know whenever I make my sigils, it's not just like one word. It's like a paragraph of like what exactly. My intention
yeah.
is.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's, oh God, I can have like a whole episode about sigils, but.
Okay. Actually, though, I have a cool segue there from sigils. So we talked about this last night, and I'll mm-hmm. share this again here. During the spiritual awakening, I made my first sigil. Mm-hmm. I made my first 12 sigils, actually. But the first one I ever made, I wrote out what I wanted to bring into my life. And I took the first letter of every sentence. I removed the vowels and put it together into a drawing. And I kept simplifying it and simplifying it until it eventually represented like kind of a mix of astrology sigils together and my own kind of creative interpretation. Mm-hmm. And it became my manifestation sigil. Oh. And the funny thing is I draw it on everything. And this one time I had it on like a shirt or a bag or something. I had drawn it on and I'm hanging out with one of my friends and he looks at my sigil and he says, "Hey," and he's like, says what the sigil is to him. He like says a word that I forget what it was. I think it was like an Indian word. And he was like, I was like, what do you mean? He's like, "That's what your sigil is." I was like, this is a sigil I made up on my own. Yeah. This is my own unique creation. He's like, "No, that's the universal sigil of manifestation."
Holy crap. I was like,
"What? Are you kidding me?"
Yeah, that's so wild that you actually drew a sigil and you didn't even know that it was a huge thing. Cause like you're making your own thing. Like that's wild. I can't even wrap my head around that. Like, holy crap.
Yeah. And I think magic works like that a lot where like we're all kind of tapping into this this kind of group thought, collective consciousness. That's what magic is. It all comes from the same source.
Yeah.
And when you're able to practice magic all the time, you just get better at hearing the source.
Yeah.
And learning how to work with the source, you know? And I think that that's like, it's really cool when we start to connect. And that's something I want to do with Occultish is I think like on a global level, when we start to connect so many people, we're going to learn that a lot of us are like coming up with the same stuff. You know?
Yeah, definitely. Because I know in the Facebook page, a lot of us are awakening right now during quarantine. And I don't know if it's just because, you know, we have more time or it's a time for witches to kind of like rise again. But, you know, like there's so many witches out there that have the same story and the same kind of like, oh, I started awakening in March. I know like 10 different people who have the exact same story as I did when I awoken in March. And, you know, like I love that this is like you're bringing a sense of community together of witches. And, you know, I said that in the last episode too. But it's just like in the grand scheme of things, you're bringing everyone globally together. And it's, you know, this, it's almost like a collage, like an art project you're doing, right?
100%. And it is that for me. I mean, that's why I started it. Like, so I guess actually to kind of close that's the bulk of my spiritual awakening. There's a lot of like little stories in there, but mm-hmm. more or less that happened. And from there I've pushed forward. And during that time when I connected with all of those people, I eventually created Occultish.
Yeah.
And it was because I was connected with so many beautiful, magical people that wanted to get their message into the world, that I wanted to help them get their message into the world. And being a bit of a tech witch myself, I knew that I was in a unique position to put this together for people.
Yeah.
You know, and it was those people the house was called Granny's, but it was those people at Granny's. It was those friends I met in Oakland that helped me remember my magic that I had been practicing my whole life and encouraged me to be like, let's do this. Let's like awaken. Like, let's help everybody have the tools for awakening. You know, I can't awaken people. That's not something I can do.
Yeah, like, not yet.
Let me
anyway.
Provide you tools. Let me provide you the tools to figure that out. You know what I mean?
Like, definitely. Well, I mean, like, it's hard to help other people awaken when you're just kind of awakening yourself. But like, 100%. What?
Well, I think. Oh, sorry. Go on.
No, I was gonna say, like, what does awakening mean to you? Like, spiritually wise, like, what does that mean? Because you know, everyone says, I'm becoming spiritually awakened, but what does that actually mean?
That's a really good question, and probably a hard one to answer. I mean, for me, I think spiritual awakening is really realizing your connection to the source. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that's a really, really big part of it, and that happens in a lot of ways. Like, that happens through like realizing that you're intuitive, or like some people have visions, or some people remember past lives, or you know, there's a lot of ways that you can realize that you're connected to that source, but mm-hmm. that's really what the awakening I think is primarily focused on.
Yeah.
And then I think the other part of it is realizing the power of self. And I think that like a lot of times in society we're shy to focus on ourselves. I mean, I know I am in a very, very large way.
Yeah,
and I think that like, yeah. And it doesn't mean like attaching to your ego. It means realizing that you have the power of magic. You have the power of creation, like inside you, and realizing how to listen to that voice and that source and how they work together. And that's what spiritual awakening is. And then from there, there's levels to it, but that's the initial one, you know.
That's actually a really good definition, because, you know, being spiritually awakened for me, I think what it meant was I can finally open up my third eye and not be afraid anymore. You know what I mean? Like, I can definitely feel like I can do things, and I can read my tarot cards and actually feel the reading and feel the card without just like, you know, just playing with the deck and just like, oh, what does this mean? Like, I just, when I woke up, it just felt like I can see everything. And I don't know if that makes sense, but.
Yeah, no, it does. It 100% does. And I think that's what spiritual awakening is, right? It's like having this realization that like that's what magic is. Magic isn't like, I want to make something up and make it happen. Magic's like you learn. It's like you get to see the matrix, right? Like it's like it's a funny way to phrase it, but it is. It's like you get to see how everything's interconnected. And then from that, you get to make decisions that work with that nature.
Yeah, 100%. I totally agree with that. But, you know, I think this kind of ties into the next segment, you know, like witchcraft in a modern setting. You know, like, do you think witches are dying out, or do you think, you know, we're just starting to rise again? Because, you know, I know in a lot of Hollywood TV shows, they kind of, you know, portray witches as, you know, things you can aren't possible, like throwing fireballs out of your hand, like I'll say yesterday, or like, you know, doing things like using your mind to control people. I don't know if that is a possibility, but I just don't like how they depict it where it's unrealistic.
Yeah, I completely agree with the unrealisticness of Hollywood, but there is a caveat to it. I think that witchcraft is on the rise. I think that magic in general is on the rise. I mean, kind of talking about more like tapping back into like the spiritual awakening that you're experiencing in March, you said, and a bunch of other people in March were experiencing as well, whether it's quarantine or like, I know astrologically there's been the age of Aquarius is starting this year. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of planets that have been shifting the last 3 months that signify that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, I mean, that's like, it's kind of been predicted for like a couple thousand years that like there was going to be this huge spiritual awakening that happens in 2020. And like, I think we're very, very clearly seeing that. I mean, the growth of occultish is a huge representation of that. Like from what I've done in my studies, like the number of people that are remembering their magic is on the grow. And it's tough because with things like Hollywood, like it does encourage people to be like, you know, you watch Sabrina and you're like, I want to be a witch too.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like, I totally get that whole aspect of, you know, thinking being a witch is cool. And like, you know, anyone can be a witch, but like, it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to shoot fireballs out of your hand. You know, that doesn't, like, yes. It doesn't mean that you have to do those things. Being a witch, I think, it means you're using your intuition. You're using the abilities that you have that you're born with, whether it be like you're a psychic or a medium or you're clairvoyant, you know, you use those tools. And I think that's what makes you become, quote unquote, a witch.
Yeah, I think so too. And on that Hollywood tip too, I mean, that's like kind of the challenge like that I run into is that like so many people message me and they're like, is magic real like the movies? Mm-hmm. And it's like, I have like, as witches that are into the education of witches, which I would say both of us probably fall into that category. Is that we have to kind of teach people the right way that magic exists. Not the right way. There's no right way, but the actual way that we've experienced. And that's the beautiful thing about your podcast is like, you're able to source all of these people that have different experiences.
Yeah.
And paint a picture of magic in the modern day and what that looks like and how people practice that.
And that's a very important message that I think, you know, I've been trying to broadcast. And because I feel like I already have so many episodes put out, but I only have two. But I have so many that I already worked with. And, you know, I really want to put this podcast together so that way there's going to be a sense of community, right? For people to come together and listen and be like, oh my God, yeah, I felt exactly the same way. Let's talk to this other witch who felt the same way, you know, and then you start talking to other people, then you hear they're starting to waken up. And just, it's a beautiful thing. That's like a chain of events. And I think that's really important. And I think that honestly, you are the focal point in, you know, my spiritual awakening. And with the whole podcast, I created this podcast because, like I said, I wanted to have a sense of community, but I also wanted to get to know more witches. And I'm doing that. I talk to different people every single day. I'm collaborating with people every day. And that's through your Facebook page. It's from your Discord page. And, you know, like, I honestly say that, you know, you do so much for me, but like, you really do. You've done a lot to help me. And I can never say thank you enough.
I have to send it back your way though, too. Cause like, you're so good at this. And like the reason the community is able to grow and thrive, and I think one of the reasons why your podcast I think is really going to do well, is because you're the perfect person for cultivating that side of the community, you know, or even your own community. Like, you're so, so good at it, Julia. And it's been a huge help to Occultish and to myself. And it's really been, it's been super cool getting to meet you and talk with you and become friends.
Yeah, definitely. Cause like, you know, like I said, guys, Ty is so knowledgeable, and we just have like conversations that for like hours, and it doesn't even feel like hours. Like, this podcast already is, we're like at 30 minutes and we've been talking about fun stuff, you know. We haven't gotten like to the nitty gritty stuff yet, you know. So I get lost really easily when I talk to him. So back to where we were going.
Let's talk about sorry everybody, little love we had to share.
we had to share our love for each other. But what do you, let's talk about more about Book of Shadows and grimoires, because I think those two things are very essential in everyday magic. I kind of think of it as like a magical cookbook that you use.
Yeah, right.
Because like, and you know, to start off, guys, with Book of Shadows and grimoires, they can be any journal or like even pieces of paper that you're going to staple together to make something. It doesn't have to be like something that is ginormously huge, that's like a 200-pound, like really thick page, and then it crackles and looks like a hocus pocus book. I mean, yeah, that's awesome if you have that.
Those are cool though.
Those are so cool to have. But I'm saying, like, when you're starting off, it doesn't necessarily have to be that. You don't have to make it, you know, every page doesn't have to be like, you know, a work of art. It could just be your research. Cause like, I know most of my pages in my beginning Book of Shadows, they're just all my notes from my tarot card readings. They're my notes from, you know, when I did certain spells and how they worked for me or how they didn't work for me. You know, like I said, it's essentially a cookbook. And I think that, you know, Book of Shadows are those types of, between the two, they're very important to have. Like, they're essential to me. Because, you know, when you're recording things down for, you know, your future self, it's very important that you know exactly what happened that day. What card did you pull and what did it mean to you? It's like your journey in a book. And I think that's super important. And, you know, I can't emphasize that enough.
But. Yeah, actually, before I start talking about it, do you mind sharing with people the way you organize your Book of Shadows? Because I think you're really organized, and I think a lot of people are curious about that, and that might be a good, like, educational tip, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I'm very, very open, guys. If you guys have any questions about what I do in my Book of Shadows or, you know, pages that I, because on my Instagram, I post everything. Honestly, I'm very, like, you know, I'm very transparent. I show you guys what I do. But for my Book of Shadows, you know, I've had scraps of paper everywhere just of my notes, and it got very disorganized and I got really frustrated. So, you know, during quarantine, I thought I had this like kind of idea that I have this binder, and, you know, it's an A6 binder. It's a very small 6-ring binder that you can hold, not like it holds a lot, but not enough where you can keep, you know, building it. Like you can take pieces out or put pieces back in. It doesn't matter. But what I do is I have like 12 different dividers that I created, right? So each divider, like, either talks about like moons, it talks about like herbs, it talks about like different rituals or spells, you know, any kind of topic that you want to kind of put into it. And I try to put, you know, at least for me, my goal is to do like 3 or 4 pages a day. And, you know, that's a lot. That's, you know, that's a lot of work to do. But, you know, once you get the hang of it, it just starts building and building. And, you know, like I can just reference back, like if I want to talk about the moon, oh, yeah, let me flip back to this page and then I'll go through all my notes about the moon. And that's how easy it is. And, you know, I show it on my Instagram on like what exactly I use. And, you know, it's a very fun project to do when you have time. Like, it doesn't have to be, like, really aesthetically pleasing and, like, gorgeous or whatever. But I kind of just put my own spin on it. And, you know, I like to draw everything out. I mean, granted, you can totally print out your own stuff and put it into your binder. But I think it feels more concrete for me to if I just drew everything. So that's why I post pictures. You know, I try to post as many pictures as I can on my Instagram to kind of showcase that, you know, making notes for your Book of Shadows is really easy and it's not something that's difficult. And you can find so many resources online. There's so many blogs and there's so many things on like Pinterest or like YouTube, and, you know, you can find all sorts of things. But I think the first start of having a Book of Shadows is just a journal. It's just a doodle journal, you know?
100%. Yeah. And that's kind of what my first Book of Shadows was. Like, somebody, a friend of mine, had made me a book. They took a bookmaking class and they were kind enough to make a book for me.
Mm-hmm. That's
which
awesome.
Is pretty cool. Yeah. And honestly, at first I just wrote down like the first like 7 pages are just like one sentence each, you know, like just a thought that I had that I thought was cool. And then when I had that spiritual awakening we touched base on earlier, I started to record. What I did was actually I went through the book and I chose a random page and I wrote down each of the 4 elements on a random page. And when I got to that page, I would go and do research and make a page about that element. And then after that, I took, I think it was a handful of topics, maybe 10, like life, death, love, like, you know, the big ones. Mm-hmm. And I wrote them on a random page. And then I started to fill each of the pages with drawings. Like, I basically have all of my rituals are drawn out in sigils, if that makes sense.
That is so cool.
So, like, the first – so, like, an example, I'll try and maybe help people visualize, maybe not. But the first one I did is, like, I was experimenting with the elements, and I realized the power of water when I was trying to put out a fire in the fire pit. Mm-hmm. And I sat there – it was a big fire, and I sat there with a hose for, like, 50 minutes spraying water onto this fire. Oh, and all this steam is coming up. And it's funny because a lot of times, I mean, the elements are such a big part of witchcraft. And like, I'm a water sign. So water was really important to me. I hadn't realized the power of fire in contrast to water.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like a lot of times water puts out fire, but like it takes a lot of water to put out a big fire.
Yeah, definitely.
Go ahead. So I was going to say, so the first drawing was, I basically have, I have a sigil I do for each of the elements. So I drew out like the ground with earth sigils And then I drew out a fire pit with fire sigils. And then I drew out the steam with air sigils. And then I drew out the water with water sigils, if that makes sense.
That is so cool.
And it was kind of like a scene of water being sprayed onto the fire is what it was. And so stuff like that. So I do all my rituals that way. And I would just fill the pages in. And then when I came up to a topic that I wanted to study, I would have to dedicate 2 pages to that topic. And I'm kind of a chaotic person, so that worked for me. You know, like, I'm not as organized as you. I will say it's hard to go through my book and find things. But
no, you have to start somewhere. And, you know, I think that's a really good start to kind of, like, the start to do sigils, too. Because, like, if you want to start doing sigils, there's a whole tutorial on how to do them online. You can find it anywhere. But, you know, a thought that kind of just came to me because we were talking about sigils so much. I found this from Witch of the Wanderlust.
I love her.
She is so amazing and so cool. And she did an episode about sigils and how she makes them. And she makes them on bathroom tiles. And, like,
oh, cool.
Yeah. And I went to Home Depot. And I got, like, a bunch of, like, different tiles. And I had, like, this huge permanent Sharpie. And then I just drew my own sigils, like, in my meditation room. I have, like, all of the planets on, like, sigil-wise on the tiles. And then I have sigils for, like, certain things. Like, I want to embrace my own magic or, you know, help enhance my divination. I write sigils on tiles, and they're so useful to meditate with. And I can't stress that enough. Like, I do that all the time. And, like, it really gives, like, an extra juicy boost to, like, your rituals, too. So.
Oh, man, that's so cool. I want to do that now, too.
Yeah, and it's just, like, it's ever-growing, right? Like, your sigils will always, it's a living thing. It's kind of like, I don't know, like, the closest thing I can think of, it's like yeast, you know? You plant it a little bit, like, give it a little bit of water, or you just give it a little bit of, like, you plant a seed in it, and it just, like, starts growing. And
they change too, just like that.
Yeah. And it's just like, I think sigils are so beautiful, but, you know, and like he was, like Ty was saying, when he was talking about putting in his Book of Shadows and then the sigils and everything, that's actually a really good kind of divider you can put in your journal too. Like you can write out all your sigils and you have memories of them. And I think that's a beautiful thing to have. So that way, and you can look back, be like, oh, on today, I actually made a sigil that I wanted to manifest to have love in my life. And then, you know, 2 months later, you're in a relationship and it's like the best one you've ever had in your life. So.
Yeah, that's real. I actually, when I go to sleep at night, if I'm ever sick, I actually have a sigil for health. Mm-hmm. And I'll just like draw it with my finger on my leg. Mm-hmm. Like just really slowly while I fall asleep, you know, just over and over and over
again. That is so smart.
I don't know if I get healthier, but I think it helps.
Yeah, well, any little bit of magic helps, honestly. And I think that it's a beautiful thing that you can find magic in everything. Like, I actually come from a hospitality background, and my major was advanced baking and pastry. And you know, I didn't really think about it, but I actually am a kitchen witch. Like a little.
Yeah, right?
Like a little bit of a kitchen witch. Like, or a lot of a kitchen witch. I haven't decided. I don't know which labels to call myself just quite yet. But, you know, like I put magic into everything that I cook. So like if I want to manifest love, I'll make like a chocolate brownie or something, and I'll like put all my intention to it, and then I'll give it to someone that I like, and then boom, it's like a love spell.
Yeah, that's real. Are you going to do a Kitchen Witch recipe book?
I have a lot of recipes that I actually want to publish. But, you know, like, I wouldn't say I would do, like, a cookbook. But I can definitely post it, like, on a blog or something. Because
yeah, well, I would just love that. Your drawings are so cool. That would be such a
I know. I have so many projects that I want to do. But, like, it's just...
Ten of Wands.
Ten of Wands. There's too many ideas. I can't do it. But let's go back to, you know, how you do your grimoire and how you have your Book of Shadows.
Cool. Yeah. So I do it that way. And then recently I got more organized because magic's becoming more serious for me. Mm-hmm. And I am currently, my partner and I are building, I don't know, it feels like building. We're making our own mm-hmm. book, and we basically bought a vintage book with like a 3-inch book spine, you know, And we're starting to sew in pages. And both of us are artists. So we have like tracing paper, we have like newscraft paper, we have like Mylar, or not Mylar, there's like a thin painting one you have. We have like watercolor pages. And we're basically putting like a collection of different pages into the book so that we could like essentially draw our book of shadow pages in whatever format that we want to.
Yeah.
And that one's going to be really organized. I'm basically going to put a table of contents in the beginning of it. And then I'm going to leave a space for page numbers. So I'm going to paginate the entire book. And then that way, as I create it in my own chaotic format, I'm going to be able to go back and leave the page number.
That is so awesome. And I can already like imagine the book. It's probably going to be like a really hefty one, no?
Oh, yeah. It's like leather bound. Like, it's cool. It's like leather bound. And like, I'm really into using I have really long hair, and my hair is like a really big part of my magical practice. It's like, it's not vain. It's just like, I started growing my hair when I started all of this, and I haven't cut it since.
So yeah, it's like your magical baby.
Yeah, exactly. So we're actually going to use like, it's not going to be, we're going to sew it regular, but we're also going to use like a braid of my hair as like the spine thread.
That is,
which I think will be super cool. And it's when we first started dating, I gave her a braid of my hair for protection to wear, like not to wear, but to keep in her spell book and keep her on her altar and stuff. So it's kind of like significant to both of us. So we're going to put that same braid as the thread for the spine.
That is so cool. So like we were talking about the other day, since you're doing that kind of magic where you're using like literally like your hair or like your body and everything, what about blood magic? Would you start doing that too? Or what is blood magic?
Okay, so blood magic, that's a big one. I actually have a friend. So remember I was talking about grannies earlier, and I talked about how we had art shows that were focused on magic. Yeah. One of the shows they put together was called Blood Magic.
Wow.
And the entire art show was themed on that. And it was really cool. I think blood magic really ties into like femininity, because a lot of it has a lot to do with the menstrual cycle. Mm-hmm. And that's something I personally cannot speak on.
Yeah.
So I personally want to go to a friend of mine named Heather that through this show, and I would love for at some point for her to dive more into it. But on a more general sense though, aside from that, is I think it's really powerful. And one of the earlier spells I did was foolishly, it wasn't foolish, but I did a blood binding spell with a friend where we basically wrote an intention and then sealed it in blood. And that person has been uniquely intertwined into my life in a way that is incredibly serious. And I love her to death, but it's been a very, very hard journey for both of us.
Well, you're using blood magic, and you're kind of combining like what, two souls into one. And yeah, that's very powerful. And, you know, like we were saying yesterday on the phone, you were like, you have to be really careful on what kind of rituals you want to perform with people, because like, it's, guys, it's like no joke. Like, things will happen whether you like it or not, you know? And I think that's a very important message when you write like sigils, or if you're doing like a ritual or like a spell with somebody, make sure that you do all your research for it first, because if you go into it like blindly, yeah, it's going to be fun because it's going to be sporadic, but at the same time, what, you could really hurt yourself. So,
yeah. I mean, I think too, really like a cool thing about magic is, and like, while I do caution, like definitely experience on more of the serious matters, I do think experimentation's part of it. And I think every witch I know has learned a lesson the hard way. And I think that's kind of part of it. You know, I think it kind of teaches us the lesson we need to know. Like, magic also protects us from ourselves.
Yes, absolutely.
And I think when we ignore it is when we've really run into problems. Like, if you do something that binds you very strongly to a person or to an object or to a subject, and it starts to have a negative impact on your life, that's a sign.
Yeah.
You know? And if you ignore that is when you start to really like have negative side effects of magic. But I do encourage experimentation with caution.
Yes, 100%. So let's go back to the next topic. What is a witch to you?
Hold on one second. I have a really cool book of shadow story that I wanted to
tell. Ooh, yay. I love stories. Go ahead.
Okay, so I'll be as concise as possible. So, 2 years ago, I went to Europe on a trip, and my primary focus of my trip, although I was there for like 2 months. I'm an artist, so I have like the benefit of some free time, and I was able to go there for 2 months. And while I was there, one of my primary obsessions was hunting down occult knowledge, occult books, occult sightseeing, anything that fell into that category, which a lot of it in Europe is witchcraft oriented. So that was really cool for me. And one of the things I wanted was I wanted a book. I wanted an ancient grimoire text, more or less.
Please tell me you
And
found it.
okay, so I was hell bent on finding it, right? And I went to, there's this beautiful bookshop below Notre Dame in Paris, and it's called the Shakespeare Bookshop or something like that. The dude's been there for like 30 years. He's one of the largest collectors of rare books in general, and has like the entire shop's full of like first editions, which like for a book lover, that's like a beautiful thing.
Yeah, for sure.
And so I'm there and I'm hunting around, and I have like more books than I can hold in my hand on magic. Like I have a stack of books in my hand. I only got about like 60 euro, like $80 to spend. And I have tons of books in my hands, and I decide to go over to the New Age spirituality Buddhism section because I'm very fond of Buddhism. And I'm digging around, and down at the bottom left corner in the basement of this shop, in a building that was built, I don't know when Notre Dame was built, but was built at the time when Notre Dame was built. So a basement in Notre Dame is a bookshop. And I'm literally in the basement digging around for books in the farthest corner of the bookshop, and I find a hole in the wall.
Oh my God.
And I reach my hand into the hole in the wall, and I pull out a black book that's about 2 inches thick with a spine. It has gold letters on the front, and all of the pages on the edges are embossed in red gold. And it's called A Comedy of Justice.
Oh my God.
And I literally know nothing about the book. I can't look it up because I'm in a foreign country. I don't have service like that. And I put all my other books down and I buy it. And it was super
Well, yeah,
expensive.
because like that sounds like a Harry Potter moment where you just like find your
No,
wand of
it
destiny.
literally was. So I buy the book and I go home, and this is such a funny thing about the way magic is. And I go home with this book, and I look it up as soon as I get home. And this book was printed in 1918. It was written by this author with the last name of Jurgen. And he wrote this book as a response to occultism in the early 1900s. And he's basically mocking every occultist from 1900 to 1920. And he does it in a fable style. So it's a story of fairy tales that are each designated to troll occultists, and at the same time is embedded with crazy levels of like magical knowledge. Like his grimoire was a comedy of magic at the time period. And it was like a second edition book that I bought, and it ended up getting banned and like almost deleted from history because it has a bunch of stuff about witchcraft in it.
Holy crap.
And it got banned in 1923. In America, it got banned in 1923 during Prohibition because it's so much about witchcraft.
That how many pages is it?
Oh, it's beautiful. It's like hundreds of pages, and every chapter starts with a like, I don't know if anybody knows this, but back in the day when they did illustrations in books, it was like everything was woodblock printed. So like each book was woodblock printed individually, and it has these massive pages that are all black and white, but mostly black wood prints that are like the most beautiful illustrations. Like I'm gonna get some of them tattooed to
Oh
me
my
because they're
God.
so beautiful.
I
Like
can almost like
they're
smell how
insane.
old it is and the way you describe
Oh
it.
my God. So check it out. So the story goes further. So I get the book, and it's a bit of a dark book. It's kind of serious. And I get it, and I'm like afraid to pull it out of my bag. And I bought it on like week one of my 2 month trip, and I'm like backpacking, and the book weighs like 6 pounds or something. So I'm like carrying around this heavy book. I don't know anything about it. I don't have any time to read it because I'm traveling. And like it has like this kind of dark energy to it because I didn't have a chance. Like I cleansed it with a friend in Germany when I got there, and that like helped significantly. But like I basically was having like visions and ghost experiences my entire European trip, and I think it's because I got this book.
That reminds me, have you ever seen the movie called The Ninth Gate?
Yeah, with Johnny
With
Depp.
Johnny Depp, that sounds exactly like the book you're talking about. Like, holy crap, that's
Yeah.
nuts.
Oh man. It's intense. And I basically keep the book covered. I don't keep it on my main altar. I keep it in my library, mm-hmm. and I keep it covered. And I only show it to like really specific people. Cause it's like, it's
dark energy.
It's got its own. Yeah. Or it's got like its own entity, you know, yeah. like it has its own mode of operation that doesn't necessarily reflect my intentions.
Yeah. And it's kind of like an item where if it doesn't vibe with you, then you can't, you know, work with it. Right. So, like, that's why you 100%. Show it to, like, specific people, or else, you know, it can really latch on to another person. Because, like, yeah. I definitely believe in the whole, like, well, of course, I'm magical. So, I definitely believe in, like, the spiritual world. Like, for instance, at one of my dad's house, I am not welcomed at that house. Not because of my dad, but because there's something there that will always try to hurt me. And, like, when I lived there when I was younger, something threw me down the stairs. And it wasn't because I'm clumsy, because God knows I'm clumsy, but like something was there and it pushed me. And so like I'm terrified of that place, just like how, you know, like that there's like an entity in that book, things like that. Like it's crazy how it works like that, because there's entities everywhere. There's spirits everywhere. And, you know, you honestly shouldn't be playing with like Ouija boards unless you know how to do it, honestly. But like.
Yeah, I agree with that one. Even as a chaos witch, I'm strongly against. Like, I don't use Ouija boards in my practice. No, I don't know if I'm superstitious, but I just don't.
Yeah, it's a very dangerous thing. And, like, you know, especially with, like, new beginner witches, if you want to, you know, contact the spirit world, I really don't recommend getting a Ouija board, because you're going to be playing with things that you're not really sure of yet. And then you're going to invite things in and they're going to think, like, oh, she knows what she's doing. And then they'll just mess with you.
Yeah. And I think a really cool way to work with entities, especially when you're a beginner witch, is the tarot
cards. I was just about to say that. Yeah, tarot cards are a really great way to kind of like get into the spiritual side and spiritual world to connect. Because it's just a little bit more organic, if you will. Because like if you buy Ouija boards, you know, you get them like at Toys R Us, or when there was a Toys R Us, or like you get, I don't even know where you can get them now, honestly.
I have a, I don't offer it anymore, but I have a source for wood carved Ouija boards from a bunch of witches in Oregon.
That is so
cool. And they're really cool. And they're pretty cheap, actually. They're like, I think like 50 or 60 bucks, which isn't bad for something that's carved out of wood.
Yeah, that's crazy. But like I was saying, you know, like as much as Ouija boards, like they sound like a good time, it's kind of like you're drinking like vodka that's too old.
Yeah. You're drinking Red Bull over the next day.
That's not worth it. So, I mean, guys, it's clear. We could talk about everything and anything in this podcast. So, you know, like me and Ty, we can just go on forever. Like we talk like we've been talking for like years. But like
it's super cool.
I think we're just going to wrap up this episode.
Cool.
I think that we had a lot of good content. We know a lot more about you and what you're about. I like that, you know, you and your partner are creating like this beautiful grimoire. And then you had that whole study abroad artist kind of finding your dark magic book, or like witch book. So I think this is a really good episode, and I'm really grateful that you're coming back. And I hope for future episodes you'll come back too. Because, you know,
yeah, of course.
There's so many topics.
Thanks for having
me. Absolutely. There's so many topics that I want to go over with you. And I think that it'd be really beneficial for everyone to kind of get your take on it. So just want to say thank you. And guys, you know, I forgot to say at the beginning, happy Friday. You know, it's going to be a great weekend for you guys. Fridays are always a good day for me. That's why